Howdy there, folks, and welcome to another of what seemed to be turning into a series of open monologues. So, after reviewing and facepalming at my attempt last week, I will be trying again at doing a single-orientated episode. However, this time, I will be trying to keep it a little more ranty, focused, and short. This is going to be my attempt to do what, say, Yahtzee or Movie Bob do online. I mean, it will not be scripted, like, say, Extra Credit, which I do respect highly. Instead, it will just be a rant. I'll try to keep it short because I want to, well, you know, give this one a short. So I'm going to try to keep this 10 to 20 minute minimum. All right. So, Doctor Who. All right, so if you haven't been noticing recently, Doctor Who has recently started its seventh season. And season 7 has started off with about 3 crazy high-concept episodes. Moffat, the creator of Doctor Who, stated himself quite eloquently in news reports that I have seen and read that basically he wants this season to be more explosive and cinematic and epic beyond proportion. So what that equals is first an episode all about Daleks, the Dalek race, having a massive epic reintroduction into human Daleks, a second episode involving dinosaurs in space, to put it mildly, and historical figures, to put it broadly, and thirdly, a whole episode all about being just a Western. And to be quite honest, I liked them and didn't like them at the same time. I'm certainly not going to join the people that didn't like it, oh, just because it happens to, you know, be epic and less British, as some people might say. However, I do feel that the episodes don't have enough of the emotional impact they need, and I guess that's the way the Doctor Who seasons go, but hey, personal feelings, right? Either way, each episode so far, in my personal opinion, before we get into the emotional episode of The Power of Three, I liked the Dalek episode, but I liked it mainly for Rory. In fact, I liked all episodes of this season for Rory, except for the third one. Third one was just, it was cool for the extra companion. But the companions are the reason why this episode's work. I was impressed by the new companion in the first episode, but I was mainly more intrigued by Rory. But let's get into it. So season 7 begins with the Daleks. Asylum of the Daleks. An interesting title and episode story in that, unlike previous Dalek episodes, it's not trying to be the most epic Dalek episode of all time. Instead of trying to give some kind of pretense about how epic and amazing the Daleks are as a bad guy, it instead tries to go for something a little more, well, shall we say, subtle, and aims for more a small portion of the Dalek Empire, reminding me of the first Dalek episode of Eccleston's run, wherein the Dalek, there was only a single Dalek, and it was all about showing how what one Dalek could do to prove, to add to the threat level when you finally do meet a full army of Daleks. So it's nice to have another episode like that. And whereas the first episode where Matt Smith faced the Daleks failed miserably, this episode has more, well, achieves a bit more. It hints more at the creepiness of the character of the Dalek race and sort of points towards why they are a sad and scary race more so than any other. In that, and this is what Doctor Who does incredibly well, is it focuses on the idea of the individual being crushed by the massive force of a societal structure. You've seen this before with Cybermen and the Angels, and having it applied to the Daleks makes it no less impressive. I didn't think it was as successful as some other people have said, but I thought it was quite eerie to see the Daleks in sort of a human manner, and I'm not going to ruin anything, but it was interesting to see what they did with the Dalek race. Either way, the the facts remain that it was an interesting episode. The episode depended more on the Rory-Amy relationship with the Doctor than it did, in fact, on the actual Daleks, which makes it a funny episode. To put it mildly, the episode is more... The episode basically tells us exactly what we're going to be dealing with this season, which is an explanation as to why Rory and Amy are going to leave the show. We've known it for a long time now, when we were told in the news that they were going to be leaving, but it's still something that's hard to accept, that Rory and Amy, Pond, are going to be leaving the show. Not just in a, they might come back later, but literally gone, these companions aren't coming back. And the thing is, they are probably, to me at least, of the new Doctor on, because I have not seen the previous Doctor Who episode. Sorry, I've seen like one episode with the guy with the rainbow coat jacket thing. Either way, of the new run, at least, I found that Amy and Rory in particular, are far more intriguing companions than any other, and they've certainly both developed sort of this place with us. You know, with us as a fan base. We have developed this wonderful relationship with Rory and Amy, and because of it, we've developed a bond and a close attachment with them, and Moffat has used them beautifully to emphasize that this Doctor is more, that allow us to look at the Doctor more, and take away that lonely solitude part of the Doctor that had become so popular. He is no longer some lonesome stranger, but in fact has a family of people that he cares about. You know, the Christmas episode has a great ending because you finally see the Doctor just decides, I'm going to, you know, just knocks on the Pond's door and walks. And Amy is just looking at him like, well, you finally decided to show up. And they just have food and they have like Christmas dinner. And it's nice, you know, it's a nice thing. And so, if you've watched the recent Pond episodes, Life, Pond Life, you've probably noticed that there is certainly an air of foreboding in how funny they're treating the time travel. Because you know something's going to happen when the biggest joke has become about how much their lives are just sort of waiting for the Doctor to come and just swoop them off their feet and take them on an adventure. And as the preview at the end of the recent episode has noted, they are living two lives pretty much. One where they're just Mr. and Mrs. Pond, where they're having fun and just being with their friends, and second life where they're just with the Doctor going on adventures on all kinds of craziness. And it's you know, they're clearly being given choices and such. But either way, this episode deals with the fact that in a way, without the Doctor, Amy and Rory probably wouldn't be together. I'm going to be getting into some spoilers about the last couple of seasons, so you probably want to watch them. So, more or less, to put it simply, they say the Doctor is actually helping their relationship, because if you look at a previous episode, for instance, when the Doctor met Amy, she was a girl, and she was a little girl, and she became obsessed with the Doctor, to the point where all her relationships were based on, well, the Doctor, to the point where it shows that Rory has pretty much spent his entire life being a stand-in for the Doctor, a stand-in for the Doctor, until the Doctor comes back and swoops her off her feet. And fact of the matter is one of the best moments of the show is when Amy just straight up says, I want to do it with you. She pretty much, she doesn't say it, but she demonstrates that she wants to get inside the Doctor's pants. And that statement completely, establishes exactly what kind of character she is. which, you know, is fantastic. But yeah, I mean, really, it just makes her such an interesting character, all things considered. So as you watch Rory and Amy, and you see how Amy doesn't give a shit about her relationship with Rory, to the point where she is pretty much on her wedding night willing to get in the doctor's pants, even though she's about to get married, because that's how much she wants to be with the doctor. And Rory, and as you follow their relationship, as you realize the doctor has actually hindered their relationship and also helped the relationship that Rory and Amy have had to an insane level, to such an extent to where Rory and Amy have gone full circle from being never going to be together to the point of always being together, which has created an interesting relationship, all things considered. And so with that being said, we now find them in this episode, Asylum of the Daleks, where Rory finally flat out says exactly what everyone's been thinking. Which is, the fundamental point about Rory and Amy's relationship is that Rory loves Amy more than Amy loves Rory. And I give Karen Gillan all credit for trying to turn this into something else, that it's something more emotional where it's two-way street. But I'm sorry. The dude fucking waited 1,000 years, okay? Once you waited a millennia for Rory, Amy, you can talk. But just being... but being weak about it and giving up Rory does not equal, you know, anything. Either way, the moment I think was well done and showed their relationship definitely, you know, was a very complicated moment. It didn't end where one was justified over the other. It just added some, you know, I guess some dimension to the situation. And I found it to be quite enjoyable. Either way, that was probably the high point of this episode. But I will say for a personal high point, personal moment that I love is when it's just any single moment when Rory is basically being sarcastic about the entire ridiculous nature of the situation that he's in, where he's pointing out basically how silly it is, how silly the situation he is in, where he points out, look, this is all very silly and all, it's all very massive and all very impressive, but I have no idea what's going on. And he just completely, fully accepts that part about it. And it's awesome. But otherwise, I thought the Dalek plot with the new companion was interesting, but again, it's mostly just there to impress us with, you know, who should replace the Pons. And if nothing else, this new companion shows a lot of promise, where she's just as smart as the Doctor. And we finally get to see the promise of a companion that is on the Doctor's playing field, you know, able to keep up with the Doctor. Where we can finally have episodes where it's about the adventures of two really smart people going to crazy planets. Where they're not even, you know, maybe they're trying to one-up each other. Maybe that's how they explain things. Or maybe they don't even try and explain any of the science anymore. I am incredibly intrigued by that prospect. However, we're still getting a half season of Rory and Amy because, yeah, as much as the end of last season was, you know, felt like, okay, that was a nice way to at least end it. It didn't feel like an end for the companion, the Doctor and the companions, but for the Doctor and Rory and Amy. For the Doctor, Rory and Amy. But, hey, it worked, right? Well, it worked, right? It showed that they're heading towards the end moment, which showed the same amount of smarts that this show has had before. Otherwise, I liked the idea of the Daleks being human. I'm not as much on the idea of, like, being pro make every alien as human as possible, but I think that with the Daleks, it's a necessary trend to sort of take away elements that have made them look ridiculous. For example, they look like trash cans. Any other character would have been upgraded, but the Daleks have still not been changed. Every other alien race you see in science fiction has been upgraded, except for the Daleks. And it's ridiculous. And especially against Matt Smith's Doctor, it doesn't really work. I mean, David Tennant, it works because David Tennant's run, more than anything else, his whole show, his whole run is more about him sort of telling people, you're wrong, stop doing this, please, I can fix this. Whereas Matt Smith's a bit more complicated. And that's, you know, I like that about him. But the Daleks struggle as a villain because of it. I mean, Cybermen are funny, but Daleks... But, you know, and at least we're allowed to accept the Cybermen as the funny villains they are. But the Daleks just, we're not allowed to because they're so important to the mythology. Because they are like the time, they're just the antithesis of the Time Lords. And yet, we can't do anything because, and yet, we can't fix them until now. I like these new human Daleks and I like the idea of how they were introduced and such. There's still an acceptance of the ridiculous nature of what the Daleks are as a bad guy, but hey, they did what they could. But yeah, I thought the episode was plotted very well. The twist was obvious, but I still liked it. Either way. Sorry. Anyway. To keep it simple. Asylum of the Daleks was a good episode, a good beginning, and it sort of adds gravity to the season that the most impressive bad guy the Doctor has ever faced, like the big bad guy, has just been pretty much taken down. I think the Master is the big, but much more impressive bad guy, but if we're going to go with iconic villains, I mean, come on, the Daleks just are up there at least. But I like the idea that they've just been proven, you know, completely useless, and I like the moment of the sort of emphasis on the whole question of Doctor Who. I think the second episode, moving on to the second episode, I thought the second episode, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship, it was fun. I thought it was a fun episode, and I thought it was fanciful in the right ways, mainly because of the introduction of characters. To keep the story simple, basically, the Doctor takes four companions from his history with him on a space on an adventure, which is cool because it's like, hey, let's get all the companions and not just, you know, who you'd expect, but not just Rory and Amy, but fuck, a hunter and a fair and an Egyptian queen. I found, and I think it was just the right amount of crazy and zany. In fact, I'd like it more. I'd like it to be more zany. I wanted it to accept more of its zaniness. But what happens? Okay, so whereas the first episode was just about how do we get the team back together, this episode was about Rory and Amy, Rory's father, in being introduced. And sort of an explanation as to why Rory is sort of the way he is, and that he continues to impress me as the man who is exceptionally average, which I love. So Rory and Amy are, well, doing their thing, trying to get a light bulb into the ceiling with Rory's father doing all the work and being a very much a complaining man, when the Doctor just basically swoops them into his TARDIS in five, you know, just basically takes them into his TARDIS in 5 seconds, and then, bam, they're off on an adventure. And while the episode was very predictable in how it went, there were two things that I thought were interesting. One, okay, three actually. Three moments I thought were interesting. The first is that, well, I love this hunter guy. The character they got was very funny. He's a guy from Sherlock. He plays the commissioner in that, plays the police chief in that, and he is incredibly funny in his role as a hunter who is all about just being, you know, violent and turned on by danger, more or less. You know, and it was just such an enjoyable moment to see this guy on screen. Like, the second you knew this guy was who this guy was, when you saw that the doctor said, I don't know what it is, but there's something out there. And the hunter asks, what is it? And the doctor says, I don't know. And the hunter just looks at the doctor with this grin on his face of just this cheeky grin on his face that just completely made me fall in love with the character. And I thought it was amazing because of that. The second thing of interest is that I didn't care for Rory's father until about the very end of the episode. Like, I thought it was all cliched, boring, so I was like, yeah, bring in the old guy, he'll do some silly things with the heroes that are important. Oh, wait, the ship needs two people of the same family to run it? Ooh, shmaggity, shmaggity, and it's just that, you know, whoa, let's fill these plot holes, shall we? You know, it's just kind of like, okay, that's how it's going to be then. And it was just a bit too predictable, you know, in those areas. But then there's this moment at the end where Rory's father just says, you know, how he'd like to see one thing. And it's just him sitting, you know, sitting on the doorstep of the TARDIS staring into space. And I like the fact that the Doctor who has done this every now and then they point out that point out the fact that it is bigger on the inside and how, you know, when it's traveling through space, it is just this police box. And it's awesome. It's just this really sweet moment to watch, you know, this man just staring at all of the earth and being so, and just having a sandwich and having a drink. And it's just, you know, having some coffee, and it's just something nice, you know, in comparison to what was already a very crazy, silly episode. The third point of interest is that this episode, the Doctor spoiler alert, as I've said 50 million times, but the Doctor actually killed someone. He had to choose a life over, you know, the people around him, but he could have easily let this man live. But instead, he killed him. And it created a very interesting situation where I was perplexed. I was kind of like, okay, I'll go with it. It makes sense. This is a very new development. And it's strange that there's no actual possible way to actually deal with it. Reminds me of Chuck in a way, in that there was a moment where Casey did something on Chuck that was, well, no, not Casey. One of the villains did something on Chuck, and it was all completely covered up, and no one actually had a chance to deal with it. But either way, it was still interesting, and it gets brought up in the next episode. Now, the third episode, I'm not as much a fan of it, but I still loved the sheriff in this episode. So this episode of Doctor Who jumps right into it, doesn't even bother to explain exactly how the hell did the Doctor and Rory, how did Rory, Amy, and the Doctor, you know, meet and stuff. It's just like, yeah, you know that they've probably joined him at some point and then they'll return home at some point. Either way, that's the drive of this season. Let's just get into a Western. And the only problem, and it basically follows as the Doctor goes to a small town that has advancements far beyond itself because they traveled to the 1800s and this is having 1900 type technology. And the Doctor wonders exactly how this town got this stuff. Well, he finds out there's an alien Doctor who has been hiding out in the town and is helping the town. However, he's being chased down by a murderer. By a cyborg outlaw. Of which wants to kill this Doctor. Either way, both the Doctor and, you know, the Doctor, who is the alien, the other Doctor, both want to save this town and help these people. But as you follow the episode, you start to realize everything's not as it seems, and it enters into full Western mode when you start to feel sort of the idea of a man's way and what should a man do in a situation where it comes down to whether you should pull the trigger or not. Should you shoot someone or not? Should you kill someone or not? And the thing I like about Westerns that it does have is that basically everything can end in 5 seconds. Like, everything that you're dealing with can end in 5 seconds, but you have to allow it to end in 5 seconds. If you just do one thing, all this will end in 5 seconds. But people are complicated, and things get complicated. And so I like that. In this episode, we have a couple things. So first of all, I love the sheriff. The guy who played the sheriff, this is why I like the fact that Doctor Who is getting more American. Because you're getting actors who are actually American in the shows that are traveling to points in American history. When you're traveling to a certain point in history with some other countries that aren't just Britain, you have to accept the fact that some people are not going to be English. Okay? And I love the fact that they're not English. They're actual American actors. I did research. They're from Tennessee. They're actually from the town that they're meant to be from. And the sheriff, did not fail to impress me. I found him to remind me of someone such as Christian Bale in 3:10 to Yuma. And I thought, oh, that's really good. Either way, I thought the episode was well done in those ways, in the sense of getting all of this stuff correct and all well done. And, you know, maybe the cyborg's voice was a little off, and the aspect of... Oh. And the aspects of his personality, and the aspects of actually fully combining it with the Western don't really work as well, such as when finally the sheriff leaves, there's no one else. There's no one else that really intrigues me as much as the sheriff did. It's kind of wearing its morals on its sleeves a bit much, but that's fine. I like the mythical moment at the end. All in all, I thought it was an alright episode. I wish it could have been better, but hey, whatever, and all that. So that's the first three episodes, and I think they've been pretty good. However, I do think it does raise concerns as to whether they can pull it off. We're finally dealing with a fully epic season of Doctor Who, and I'm going to get into this in a little bit in a couple of seconds, but we are at the point where Doctor Who can't just ride on the idea of being, you know, well, it's Doctor Who, of course it's going to have flaws. No, it can't have flaws. It can't have the flaws that it had before. So as it goes, Doctor Who is in for some interesting moments in the future. Either way, now that that's done, I want to talk about a small point about Doctor Who that I've been thinking about for the past couple of days. So, in the last couple of years, all the fans of David Tennant have inevitably, myself included, looked at Matt Smith and wondered why the hell this guy should take over. You know, and it's true that David Tennant does represent every single bit of Doctor Who before, you know, he represents every single Doctor of the past. He represents Doctor Who as it was. And Matt Smith represents what Doctor Who is or should be. And whenever those two cross over and conflict a little, it's kind of annoying. But either way, the fans have split into two parties. Half say, oh, I hate the new Doctor because it's so new and shit. How dare this show do what it's doing, you know, how dare it be different from the David Tennant run. Whereas whereas the other fans are all like, oh, I love it to the point and I want to forgiving it because it's just, it's so damn good. And I hate both of these fans. I hate the fans that hate it because it's different from David Tennant. And I hate the fans that love it because it's just forgive Doctor Who to that point. They're both wrong, but for different reasons. The fans that hate it because it's new, I can kind of tolerate, but only to a certain extent. Because the fans that forgive it are the reason why the fans that hate it now are having such a hard time. Here's what it is. Doctor Who was, for the longest time, up until the end of David Tennant's run, completely forgivable television. It wasn't the best television ever, but it had this fine line, it balanced perfectly, where it could very well be, you know, the worst TV you've ever seen, and yet you'd still love it and forgive it. But then Matt Smith came along and changed it, because I think David Tennant represents every bit of Doctor Who that you would need to see if you wanted all of Doctor Who to be summarized in a way. I'm not saying it is all of Doctor Who, but it kind of represents all of Doctor Who. It represents where it can go wrong and where it can go right, and why, even when it's at its worst, that you completely forgive it. For my money, though, I think that Matt Smith's run has done something tremendous for Doctor Who, in that it's evolved it beyond being the show that is completely forgivable. Doctor Who is now flawed, has problems that we can't look past, not because they're worse, but because the show has kind of decided knowingly to give up its protective seal that it used to have. Doctor Who is no longer that treasure that it was. That's why you're seeing more of America in it, because it's becoming more of a good show instead of just a... It's becoming more of a great show, a well-made show, instead of just a fun show. That's the difference. It stopped being fun and more... Well, it stopped just being fun and started having quality. Having, you know... And being more than anything else... criticizable. You can actually criticize Doctor Who now. You can actually say, this is a bad episode, and it's not forgivable that this exists. You can finally hold the writers accountable for their mistakes, and they can finally improve. They're not riding on the idea that they are Doctor Who, and as long as they throw in some fan moment every now and then, it will all be forgiven. Instead, they get to actually write and get better at it. And that's what I think all the fans are raving about. The fans that are hating the Matt Smith run are just hating the fact that they're seeing the flaws that were there. Because no matter what you say about Matt Smith's run, he should do this, he should do that. Really all you're saying is it should be more like the David Tennant run in this way, or like this way, or like this way. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. So long as the quality's there. Either way, yeah. I'm going to say right now that I think fans are just dealing with the impact of the loss that they have never had to deal with. They've never had to deal with the loss of freedom from criticism. They're dealing with that now. And because of it, they're complaining. But the new fans are even worse, because they haven't accepted that their show is now criticizable. They are not free from criticism. But at least, you know, they're not as annoying as their other fans, who just start whining. But yeah, either way, Doctor Who is now criticizable, and I think it's still pretty damn good television, if not better. So that was my rant. Okay, I've kept it much shorter. It's a teensy bit shorter. A little more focus, a little less of me just rambling on and on and on. Oh, I'm a little tired today, but I kept on trucking, and also, you know, there are still breaks and pauses and stuff, but on the whole, it's all good. I'll catch you next week. Hopefully I'll have a cast member, but maybe it'll be part 3. Who knows? See ya.